Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening, all you fucking legends. Rod, whatever you're doing with your tongue there, dude, keep doing it.
Who am I doing like this?
I don't know, like Al Pacino?
Maybe.
Hey, we got a lot to talk about today. Hammering the Christmas trivia today. We missed last week prior to the holidays. So got a lot of Christmas movies we're going to talk, holiday movies we're going to talk about. We're going to follow that up with some Spider-Man review. No spoiler Spider-Man review. Mike and I were just ready to just tear into it. He saw it today. We were in this group chat with Papa Steel. And Mike says Spider-Man was good. I was like, oh boy, this is going to open up the floodgates. Papa Steel was like, hey, take this shit somewhere else, please, because I haven't seen it yet. And then I did exactly what I did to you when you were starting to watch Daredevil. I was like, oh, there's this one part where ... you remember, kind of deal.
I already said what I needed to say to you on Daredevil, so I'm no more.
What about it? You like it? Are you in season two yet?
I'm on the last episode of season one, I think. I'm on the Foggy had just found out that he was Daredevil. And he's getting the suit made now. I haven't seen the suit yet.
Oh,
he's getting the suit made for him. I'm like, All right.
That guy's kind of a simpleton too, isn't he?
Every superhero's got that like dipshit friend. I mean, Spider-Man's got Ned. Shang-Chi has that one chick.
If she wasn't in the sequel, would anybody be mad? Probably not.
Who else? Iron Man has Happy. Like, everyone's got that dipshit friend that just is there for like comedic and like, oh, really?
You're right. I mean, that's spot on. You're absolutely right. By the way, we went back. Maddie's got Nick. Hey, Lord Perry Davis joining us today. I have you, buddy. Everybody's got that one dipshit friend, you know? By the way, so the poor, sweet, lovely wife has just contracted COVID, right? We put in the group chat, the friend group chat, hey, not going to make New Year's this year. Derek called us last night. What the he's, you know why daddy's calling you, he says. oh boy, daddy's got some things to say. What's going on, buddy? Talk to us. Show me a negative test.
He did say that two consecutive negative tests in a 24-hour period allow you to come now. So, you know, you're still in COVID protocol, so we'll see.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
you're doubtful for the game, but you know what? You might be available.
Yeah. Doubtful, but you're still on the active roster. You're still on the game day roster.
That's right.
By the way, this mango habanero whiskey, it's different.
I'm going to try this single barrel select we got right
here. Here we go.
Little by little, we'll get there.
So how were the holidays? Is there anything? I see you've got the Apple Watch on. You said that thing calls you. Did it calls you a fat fuck? It says
something. Yeah, it's like, hey, fat fuck, you haven't stood up today at all. You need 12 hours of this shit.
I can hear you munching on the Doritos, you clown.
It picks it up and goes, bet you didn't work out today to deserve those, did you? No. I'll go run to the store
for more Doritos.
I think the worst part is too, if you have friends that are connected to it, it'll tell you whenever they finish a workout.
I need that. The wife will do a workout
and I'll look and I'll be like, fuck. I gotta do something. And I'm sitting there laying on the couch doing leg lifts, like, all right, this is something.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it'll say you can still do it at like 11 at night.
Yeah, you're at the gym at 2 a.m. because somebody worked out during the day and it was like, and see, now if you can leave messages to like other people that are connected to it, like, yo, Bitch, you better get in the gym today.
Connected to it, and you click on it, you can respond to it through your phone. So it'll send them a text message in response, which they'll get on their Apple Watch too, and you'll be like, oh, all right. I didn't work out the other day, and the wife just sent me a picture of a couple trash cans.
Hey, that's how you find out your gym buddy's cheating on you. Look on there, and it's like, hey, it says here you worked out today. What the fuck is up with that? You told me you were too tired. Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. But is that the top tier gift right there? I gotta.
I'd say so.
Megan got me this little drone. Oh, dude, I'm so excited for it.
Technology.
Choco dog. Oh, yeah. But yeah. By the way, the Steel Clan, Mike and Gail, got us this Roomba. And I got to tell you, man, dogs hate it. This thing is the best thing ever. I tell my talking machine to tell the robot vacuum to start cleaning, and then it says okay. We named her Rhonda the Roomba. She's doing fantastic. Has yet to lose her job. I think she's going to be sticking around for a while. She actually will clean the apartment, vacuum the apartment for free.
Oh,
I shouldn't say free of charge, because it's got a battery on it. You got to charge the battery.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So I guess that costs a little bit of money, but yeah, them things are slick. It literally just bumps into shit and it's like, oh, can't go that way. And then it like goes around it, bumps into another thing. It's like, oh, fuck, no, I can't go that way.
A normal day for me. It's
yeah. Oh, okay, the robot vacuum's just as drunk as I am, yeah, I guess. Okay.
Yeah. Except it cleans. Okay, whatever.
Yeah. Ooh, whoop-de-doo. I've heard that one before. Yeah. But yeah, the little drone, Choco Doggo, not please. I say little. I mean, it's like this big, but mm-hmm. Choco Doggo will run for the hills if this thing is flying anywhere inside the household. So
far. Does Mac try to catch it?
He barks at it. He will bark at it, but hasn't gone out of his way to catch. They both tried to bite the Roomba, which I don't love, because it'll be scooting along. And then they'll go to bite it and they'll hit the bumper. And then the thing will just fucking turn around and go the other way because it thinks it ran into an object. But really, it was just one.
See, if I got one, my cats would just sit on it and just carry him around the house.
They see me rolling.
Yeah.
They hate in.
Yeah. Do the food, Roomba. Yeah.
She got like a fucking martini in her paw.
Just catnip on the front of the just sprawled out.
Yeah, I could see that happening. I really could see that happening. So like we said, last week we missed a little Christmas special. So we're going to double up on it this week.
Do it.
Okay. We've got a slew. And Rod, you haven't seen any of the trivia that I've picked. Okay.
Oh, you could have sent it to me. It would still be the same outcome.
That's a good point. Yeah. You wouldn't have looked at it either. But before we get into that, I know we talked about this before. Favorite Christmas movie. What is it?
I don't have a favorite Christmas movie. I just don't. I mean, they're all just there. They do their thing and they're there. Like I don't.
If I had to guess for you, it'd be How the Grinch Stole Christmas with Jim Carrey. Yeah, because
honestly, that's probably it. If I had to choose one, because you know, you're an idiot.
Yeah. I'll just whisper so quietly that my voice will not reverberate off the walls. And by the time it comes back to me, it'll be too quiet for me to hear.
I won't be able to hear it. You're an idiot.
Yeah, yeah, you gotta love it. Christmas Story, that's an absolute classic. I don't know, that one's kind of lost its luster for me because it plays over and over and over. Like, it's a 24-hour thing, Christmas Eve. Here we go. I'm glad you said that, because in the spirit of movie Christmas trivia, I do have Die Hard on the list. It is on the list. It is and not a movie necessarily, but Hawkeye. I mean, are we going to be talking about Hawkeye as a Christmas series so far?
Nagasaki Tower.
Well, get it right. That a boy. No, Nakatomi Plaza, but
damn.
You're banking on Bryce listening to this. Nagasaki Plaza.
I mean, you can pretty much. I thoroughly enjoyed the Hawkeye series. Like, I thought that was. It competes with one of the better series they've made on Disney Plus.
I think so too, and I think we're at the point where we can kind of talk about it. And I don't know that. I mean, it kind of is a spoiler, but it. What was the point?
Has Papa Steel seen it all?
Yeah, you're right. Let's make sure. We're not spoiling Spider-Man, so we don't want to spoil this either. We need to know, make sure everybody that is listening currently has seen it or heard about it. If they have, that's great. Stick along. If you haven't, there's a spoiler that's probably coming up. Sure enough, you probably shut off his fucking thing right now, and he's so we just kind of have to sit around and wait for him. It's going to be right in the middle of me reading off the first movie trivia, and then he's going to be like, oh yeah, I've seen Hawkeye, and then we're just going to completely divert the conversation once again back to Hawkeye, talk about it. This is I need to create a banner for this. This is where Rod and I try to decipher. There it is. Okay. That's what we were looking for. Okay. He did see it. What's the point of Kingpin being on there, honestly?
Yeah, I don't think he's dead.
You don't think he's dead?
No, because it isn't in the comics. Doesn't he go blind at some point?
Kingpin?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I heard of
something. Hawkeye at one point in the Old Man Logan series is blind. Yeah. I don't know.
I'm like 95% positive. I've listened to something about how Kingpin actually becomes blind, which would dive into, I don't know, a certain blind superhero that I'm currently watching. Maybe. I don't know.
Oh, so you really don't want to talk about it?
No, we can. We can talk all about it. Just the first season. That's where I'm at. I don't want
to. Oh, that's where.
Because if you tell me what's going to happen, I'm not going to watch it, and that's just sad for everyone.
Okay, let's talk about it. Season one. This is probably 3-4 years ago.
Got to be more than that, right? Because didn't you have that, and then you had the Defenders and shit as well? A word from our sponsor.
I'm sorry. What? Say that again. Yeah.
I said it had to come out before that, because didn't they have the whole Defender series too that came out?
Yeah. So season three of Daredevil is after the Defender series.
Oh, okay.
So season one and two beforehand, season three afterwards.
Getting word from our statistician guy. Well, I just got him on payroll. He's an intern. Started in 2015.
Yeah. Okay. So you're a few years behind, which is okay.
Yeah,
that's okay. I mean, it's still on Netflix. They haven't pulled those series yet. If they pulled Iron Fist, nobody would give a shit. They wouldn't miss it. They'd just be like, oh, who's this guy with a glowing fist? He's much more badass than Defenders, but the two seasons... Actually, there is two seasons of Iron Fist. There's two.
Yeah.
They fucked up twice. Yeah. They're like, hey, this sucked. Let's run it back.
Yeah, let's make it worse.
Hey, this time, let's not even fucking give them powers.
And that's the crazy part. Like, I thought they did so well with Shang-Chi. Like, Shang-Chi is the action and all that stuff that I wanted in Iron Fist, but we never got. You know what I mean?
Budgeting. I mean, right?
Yeah.
It has to be. I mean, those were pretty low budget.
Yeah.
I don't know. Daredevil looks like they poured some money into it.
I think so. I mean, there's not a lot for them to put, like CGI and stuff like that into it. Cause I mean, besides the choreographed fights, I mean, I'd assume.
Yeah. So I need you to get to season two, man. Cause season two, we'll
get there tomorrow.
Of the three of them, I think season two was the best, or at least my favorite.
There's only three seasons.
So yeah. Well, that's when all the Marvel shit got pulled from Netflix. Remember? That was when they were like, yeah, we're fucking done.
Yeah.
We're fucking done.
Huh.
Or are they? Anyways, diverting from there. But yeah, I was a little confused because it did seem like they killed Kingpin like immediately in Hawkeye. And I was like, what's the fucking point? Like, why bring him in? And well, this was confirmed all along, actually, that these were all in the same universe, because, you know, you hear Daredevil and Luke Cage and all them talk about the aftermath of the Avengers movie. They sprinkle that in a little bit here and there. They kind of touch on, I mean, very briefly.
And some of the series, you'll see like a newspaper clipping about the Avengers or some shit like that. Like little things before they knew actually how they were going to wrap everything together and whatnot.
Yeah.
All that good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, I don't know. But here's the thing. I was very skeptical about where Marvel was going to go, and I feel like I don't have to do that anymore. They seem to have a clear direction. Now, whether they're going to introduce some characters that I'm like, what's the fucking point or not, you know, let them shoot their shot. I don't know why I had any doubt in the first place. They seem to know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Hawkeye did seem a little, I mean, it was a little cheesy. You have to agree with that, I think.
I think they were going for like that fun, like Christmassy family type of thing. And I mean,
but also dark at the same time. Also one of the darker series so far.
Yeah. And I mean, you get that. I think Jeremy Renner does a great job too, of like giving you that, like that, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but like that stoic type of like.
Yeah. And like the character. Depth of his remorse for all the stuff that he did.
As he grounds himself too. It really carries over from Endgame. When, you know, Natasha, you know, and I love the fact they brought her sister, and I love her interaction with Kate. I love that. I can't get enough of that.
I don't know. I did love it, but I saw this meme that was like, Yelena is the female version of Gru from Despicable Me. And when you hear her voice again, you're never going to unhear it, dude. Like,
I could see it. I could see it. I like it. That's what they were like fighting back and forth. And she's like, wow, you did really good. And she goes, yeah, that was a nice body throw. Cool body throw you did back there. Why do I have to like you so much?
Right. Yeah, I did enjoy that. And it was like, that's refreshing, because that's the first time we've really seen that between females in the MCU too, or at least that I could think of, to where it's like, oh, okay. Like they could spread this dynamic, this comedic, like, I mean, like Hulk and Thor, you know, Yelena and Kate, like even Black Widow and Hawkeye, like they have these dynamics all across the MCU, which, by the way, the video I sent you today about all of them talking about Stan Lee, how cool was that?
I think I've heard it before, but it's just so cool to watch these like Hollywood gods, right? Just, you know, harp on like, this was a great dude. Like, no matter what, he brought life to a room. He was had that child factor to it.
Yeah, Chris Hemsworth, he's a fucking kid. Like, he's a big kid. He's like, it was so nice to know I don't ever have to grow up, basically, what he was saying the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, right on, right on. I see where your mentality is compared to everybody else.
Or like how when Kevin Feige would talk to me, he'd be like, yeah, that's cool, but what about the cameos? All right, what?
he's like, I created this franchise, but what about the cameos in the movies? Okay,
yeah, like, did you like them? Were they good? Yeah.
That's what I want to do. That's what I'm here for. Yeah. That was cool. I really did appreciate that, and it's nice to know that, like, with guys like Kevin Feige at the helm, you know.
Yep.
That it's going to be positive strides all the way through, just the way he talked about Stan Lee.
Yep. I also think, I know you and I talked about it before, I'm really excited for the Secret Invasion series on Disney Plus.
Well, there's Armor Wars, there's Secret Invasion, there's, what else is there? Shoot.
And I didn't know, but they actually released like a bunch of comics and stuff that are like preludes to the series coming out. And that's canon. Like it's included in the lore of everything. And I'm like, yeah, that's it. I pick up a guy on YouTube and he tells me how it is.
Money!
Like they need more.
Oh yeah. It's an absolute, and you know, it's hard not to sound like a broken record, but this shit is a cash grab. I mean, why not? They're making billions of dollars. Why wouldn't you?
I was shocked that they're potentially Disney's going to get Sunday Ticket too, potentially. And you're like, how? Through ESPN. And you're like, how? Like, how are we okay with this? But you know what? Whatever. I'm cool with it. Doesn't really hurt me none. But
so I wonder, and I mean, that's what they're doing though. Is it's like, is it really considered a monopoly because they're all different categories of the same platform? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they're all channels and things like that. However, all right, here's this sports channel. Here's this. Mm-hmm. I mean, they probably qualify Disney as like a kids streaming service. Mm-hmm. Really, they probably pile on all this. Here's this fucking arbitrary old shit we did. If you watch it, great. If you don't, also great. But this is what allows us to classify it as a kids' channel. By the way, here's What If, where Thanos gets sliced in half by fucking Vision.
I've heard your theory, too, about in the Multiverse of Madness trailer. It's public. It's online, so we can talk about it. About how that Doctor Strange is actually the Doctor Strange from What If. And it'd be the first time they brought that animated. If so, I want to see Jake Johnson as Spider-Man. It's just
give the people what they want. I would love that too. Even if it was just like a cameo scene where it cuts to him and he's like in my apartment, getting ripped, doing push-ups, and it's just him trying to like fighting a slice of cheese pizza or whatever. Give me that. And then cut away for, you know, immediately afterwards. And I'm fine with it. Like, even if that's all it is, I'm fine with that.
I'm starting to think our whole show needs like a side segment that's just us talking about Marvel stuff.
Good point. Let's dive into what we came here for. Okay. We've got Christmas movie trivia. And these ones are kind of personal to me. I'm not a big, I got to admit, and hopefully Bryce isn't watching. When he can, I definitely identify.
I think we all do, Perry.
Yeah.
Lord Perry Davis.
Lord Perry, sir. These are movies that I decided to pick. I know they're some of my favorites, although, like I said, I hope Bryce isn't watching this. I've never seen Die Hard all the way through.
I've never seen it at all.
Okay, let's get into it then. I'm in good company. Here we go. First movie. The Santa Claus, starring Tim Allen. Okay.
I do watch those every year. We do watch those every year because they're fun.
They are fun. And they're at that point where it's like there's still vulgarity to it. Like they didn't have to do all this censorship bullshit that they do now. Although, one of my first pieces of trivia for you today, buddy. On older releases of the film, Tim Allen made a sarcastic remark in the movie, which included the line, 1-800-SPANK-ME. During the film's release, a woman from near Cleveland, Ohio, called the supposedly fictional number for her curious grandchildren, which, by the way, very bold move to call for your curious grandchildren. What do you think it is? Turns out to be an actual phone sex line. It wasn't until 1997 when Disney received complaints from parents whose children called the number and racked up huge phone bills.
How much of that you think was just going in the production pocket? Just if people call it, we get a little something, little cheddar cheese for our efforts.
Yeah, it's fucking, it's a Disney movie. It's fucking Minnie Mouse talking dirty to you on the 1-800 spanking line.
Oh, I got it.
Disney also said that they would purchase phone numbers to disconnect the service. This part of the film is also cut out in the DVD's release and on Disney Plus. On a television broadcast, the number has changed to 1-800-POUND. These are all true, by the way. This is not true or false.
You just hit the pound sign, or do you type out pound?
Pound. You type out pound.
Oh no. Oh no.
First of all, that's one number short. Oh, I see. They did that on purpose, though. So it was an actual phone number.
Clever.
That makes sense.
Wow, yeah. That is strong. We're going to put that down here. Later. I got a half hour to get through on the show.
Jesus, Rod's over there slurring his way. Tim Allen is the best fucking.
Whenever I think of Tim Allen, just think of how mad you were watching the Home Improvement. And the guy in the fence, you never see his face.
Wilson, yeah.
Yeah.
There's supposedly one episode where you do see his face.
Yep. I do recall that. What else we got?
For the same movie.
Okay. Woo. Keep you warm at night.
The role of Scott Calvin was written with Bill Murray in mind. After reading the script and being offered the lead role, Murray declined, saying he didn't think it suited his humor.
Oh, I mean, didn't what Bill a Murray totally different. Right? With the guy that liked Twinkies, Bill Murray's gone, right?
Yes. He was a fake zombie. He really got shot.
Yeah. He goes, nope, I deserved it. That's
oh man. Fucking Woody Harrelson. It's Bill fucking Murray. He's wiping his tears with money, like the Monopoly money, yeah, when they're fucking playing games. All right. Third factoid. Factoid. That's what I should have called it. Not factoid. Trivia. I should have like called freakazoid. It factoid. Not quite.
What? No?
Freakazoid. Freakazoid.
Nope. What that was a cartoon. That was a cartoon.
Yeah.
Not that cartoon good. But...
I forgot. Cartoon Network is where you live.
Where is that, dude? For all the cool kids hanging out.
All the Hanna-Barbera TV shows, like fucking Johnny Bravo. Hey, hoo! Ha!
Check my pants. And then Nelly. they're doing anything for a quarter.
So they can get the jawbreakers that are
Yep, that's about right.
All right, third factoid for the movie Santa Claus. There is a hidden Mickey in the movie.
I didn't know that.
When Scott and Charlie are leaving the North Pole in the sleigh and pass by the moon has a distinct Mickey Mouse logo on it.
Oh. Good job, Disney.
All right. Okay. We fucking get it. I'm surprised they don't do that in Avengers movies, honestly. Like, hey, this is Marvel, but we're funding this shit. Look up in the sky. Oh, that window that got busted out. Oh, it's that window shape is in the shape of a fucking Mickey Mouse now.
How much would that take away? You just see someone like Iron Man fly through a window and it's just a Mickey Mouse shape. You're like, okay, it's just lost all, you know, seriousness.
Boo. Are you throwing popcorn at the screen at that point, or are you sitting down and shutting the fuck up because there's still great movies? You're sitting down and shutting the fuck up because there's still great movies. I knew it. Okay. My second movie. This is a popular one amongst a lot of people. Elf.
I do like Elf. I like Elf. I don't think it's a great movie, but I like Elf.
Oh boy. The wife, word for word.
Yeah.
Word for quoting this movie. And I'm like, that's nice. Very talented. Please stop. Sorry, I'm adjusting my chair. I gotta adjust my chair. Oh.
No, the only thing with Elf is it's the same with all Will Ferrell movies. He makes good movies, but the yelling, I think it's annoying.
I agree. I really do. Now, yeah. Talladega Nights, give me Talladega Nights any day.
Talladega Nights is good. Minus the scenes where he's just screaming. He doesn't have a scream.
Help me, Jesus.
Yeah.
Help me, Allah. Help me, Tom Cruise, with your wizard powers. Okay, Elf. So there's a scene where he walks through I'm going to mess it up now. What's the name of the bridge? Lincoln Tunnel. He walks through the Lincoln Tunnel and he's like walking like this. He's kind of scaling along the curb throughout there. That was actually filmed like live. Like those are actual cars. Like that wasn't cut off to film.
Right.
Several minor traffic accidents occurred when Will Ferrell walked through the Lincoln Tunnel in his costume because people were so surprised and distracted from their driving to see him wearing an Elf outfit. Could you just have, all right? You're in New York.
This is the reason why traffic exists. Okay, people driving want to sit and gawk at everything on the side of the road, so they slow down, they swerve, they don't. No, don't turn your whole body to look at things. Oh, quick glance, boom, back to normal. Cool. Process it as you're driving.
Is it just one of these? Is that Will Ferrell in a fucking Elf outfit?
Yep.
That's what it was. Exactly. Move along. Thank you. Have a good day.
Yeah.
See, this is the one thing I do like about Will Ferrell, though. I mean, he is iconic. He does get involved in a lot of things. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen the thing where he it was across a span of like multiple days, like a full week or whatever. He played for every MLB team. And I forget what the cause was, but it was like he did actually participate in play. Obviously, like, I don't know how they did it, if they were just like, all right, seventh inning stretch kind of deal or whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah.
All right, bring in Will Ferrell and he can join us and whatever bullshit. Pitch an inning. Yeah. Pitch an inning. Like, he could even pitch an inning. Harry, this is the problem. This is what we need to address. This is the exact reason. This is why we can't.
You just stop. So you, hey, stop. What are you doing? Dude, you're fucking up the camera. Get out of here.
Are you filming a movie? Looks like you're filming a movie.
We have to restart it.
What's the movie called?
Moving back around.
Should be called Elf. You're wearing an elf costume. And that's actually how they came up with the movie. Perry.
Dipshit in a tunnel.
Dipshit in a tunnel.
That wasn't very fancy.
In an elf costume. Yeah. Now, I respect it. I'm surprised they didn't cut it off. Like, it seems like that scene would have only taken like 10 minutes. You think they would have just been like, all right, give us a but hey, permits to close roads are fucking expensive as shit. Like, no joke, dumb never expensive. Had to
close the road down.
I had never had to either, but
you get enough people, just line them up. Ain't no one coming down it. All right, you be dude, 10 minutes, you're good. Just everyone scatter.
Wouldn't it be even better if it was like these were paid extras and they still had minor accidents because they were so, like, in awe that fucking Will Ferrell was in an elf costume shimmying down the tunnel. All right. My second fact for the movie Elf. This, you'll appreciate this because we all know Jon Favreau, Happy Hogan, a.k.a. Happy Hogan.
I'm listening.
Director Jon Favreau used a remote control to trigger the Jack in the Box toys to get the startled reactions from Will Ferrell. So you think all those, that whole scene. Bing! Oh, God. Sets it off to the side. It goes all the way through. Huh. And he goes to check that it's good. Bing! That's exactly what I was gonna ask. Like, there had to have been 20 takes of that. Just like, Jesus Christ. Could you imagine being like, hey, you have no idea when these are coming. They are going to scare the shit.
I'm sure he pressed it immediately just to get him, and then okay.
All right, now we're gonna kind of time this thing out properly. We'll get you in a good position. Bang! And just hits him again like I think there should be a lot of things like that, like fucking explosions. Give me a real time, like, oh no, they don't know that there's a bomb in there. Bang! Then they do this like fall jump bullshit. Now let them get scared of shit and then do the fall jump thing. That's what I
want. I think pretty much most explosions are probably CGI these days. So I mean, that might be kind of difficult to do. Or just a loud noise, like a gun going off, you know? Just don't let out a bullet.
That's tough. Whole thing's still good. But he's retracted his statement so many times. He's like, I didn't fire the gun. I didn't even have a gun. Okay, I had a gun, but I didn't fire it. Okay, I had the gun and I fired it, but so-and-so gave it to me. To like, yeah, I fucking grabbed the gun out of my locker and pulled the fucking trigger, basically. Like, the whole thing is just...
I brought really my own gun from home. It's
yeah. And you know, T's and P's out to the family of that person. But it's just like, how? We kind of talked about this with Bryce on the marathon episode, which I still haven't rehashed it. Yeah. Listen, man.
If you missed it, that's on you. There's 12 hours of content, all right?
It'll be out by the fucking new year, I guess. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But yeah, that whole thing's insane. You know? Christmas. when and if we do it again. Oh, it's only been. Hold on. I got. Let's say I got like 2 more months before I can ask you again. All right. My last factoid for the movie Elf. Will Ferrell suffered from headaches throughout filming, as he had to actually eat all the sugary food throughout the movie. They had the take of him the first time eating like the spaghetti with the syrup and all the marshmallows and shit on it. They had to take it twice because he threw up so bad the first time. Could you imagine just the day to day, like how much weight do you think he put on? Even if it was like one bite a day. Oh my God.
That would taste disgusting. Oh, good. Kudos to him for being able to keep it down.
Hey man. A perfectionist. Okay. An expert in the craft. All right. Hey, we don't do, like Leo, he actually got mauled, fucked up by that bear in Revenant. Did you know that? And that's not true.
I did. Oh, I was going to be like, wow. Okay. Actually got no like a bear, huh?
Leo's like, I'm getting that goddamn Oscar, all right?
Give me one.
Oscar or Golden Globe, whichever one's more important.
I don't know who Oscar is, but all right.
Doesn't sound that important to me.
Yeah, it seems like a schmuck.
Okay. This is another movie I got you to watch. You said you enjoyed it. Klaus.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I didn't
know. The animated movie, also a Christmas movie. So it basically explains the legend behind Santa Claus. The legend behind Santa Claus. There's this postman. His dad is like, hey, you're not living a life of luxury anymore. By the way, congratulations. You're a certified postman. You're going to the shittiest place on earth.
Yep.
And you're going to deliver mail there. You have to deliver like 6,000 letters in 1 year or something like that.
To get your cushy lifestyle back.
Yeah. And then you can come home. All well and good. Guess what? It's basically like a Romeo and Juliet, the Montagues and the Capulet.
Capulet. Yeah.
But it's the Ellingbows and the other ones. I can't remember what they are in the movie. But just families. Generations of families have been fighting each other, and that's basically all that lives on this island, with the exception of Norm Macdonald as the boat guy. I forget who the voice actress is for the teacher. There's a teacher there as well, and then there's the woodsman, who everybody's terrified of. So he's like, all right, nobody wants to put shit in the mail. This little letter floats down, or this little picture that this little kid drew. And it's just this kid stuck up in the tower, having a shit life because he doesn't really go outside.
It's, for those who haven't seen it, it's got very How to Train Your Dragon vibes.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it. Yeah. Visually.
And just like the everything, like the humor, like the time period, like everything's, you know, very, very much the same. That's what I thought about while I was watching it. But I thought it was phenomenal. At first I was like, wow, this is going to be kind of dumb. Because normally I don't like that type of animation. But I looked at it, I'm like, wow, they did really well with it.
So, director Sergio Pablos, factoid number one, had wanted to do a traditionally animated feature film, but he wanted to see how the animation would have evolved without the switch to computer-generated animation. So the studio used CGI lighting techniques with hand-drawn animation to create a unique animation style for the story. So this is kind of its own style of animation. And you can kind of see it. There's very, very carved out characters, very defined characters, not a lot of shadowing and things like that within the characters, to where you're like, okay, there is something different visually about it. So I really enjoyed that. But so yeah. Check it out. Long story short, the postman and the woodsman, they kind of become friends. They say, hey, if these kids deliver these letters to you, will you bring them toys? There's this whole backstory to why he's got all these toys. And then it creates the legend of Santa Claus, more or less.
Yep.
And it is excellent. I loved it. I've been hooked ever since. That's going to be like a tradition. Watch that one every year for me from now on, I think.
You know what other one I think is really good, and I think not a lot of people talk about? Nightmare Before Christmas.
I haven't watched that all the way through. I need to, because I've heard it's kind of sing-songy, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but it goes with what they're doing. Like, I don't like songs that are just placed, musicals that are placed in the things that have nothing to do with it. No, I'll fast forward through it. But if it has something to actually do with it, then it's great. Oh, yeah.
It's got a family.
Remy's Roots actually came from Klaus, so that's
right. Yeah, this is actually... Yeah. I think there's some royalties for Grammy to have because... Yeah,
absolutely.
She's probably receiving it. probably, hey, we're all going to Vegas. Woo-hoo! but, yeah, I did enjoy it. I really did. And it was different because not many stories tell, like, how the legend of Santa Claus came about, right?
And not many, and if they do, they don't get it right. Like not right, like as in like a scientific or biblical or whatever the fuck you want to say, but like actually engage you and be like, wow, this is really cool concept. And
this is nice, yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. Love it.
All right. Next factoid. Netflix reported that the film was viewed by nearly 30 million in its first month on the platform.
Dude, things that go to Netflix that are hot, people are craving for new things. So you always check those top three because then you're like, all right, have I seen that yet? I'm going to watch it because, hey.
Witcher season 2, I enjoyed. You read all the, well, you listened to all the books.
Don't give me that much credit. Yeah, I listened to all the books while I was stocking shelves at your local Meijer. But like I have no interest to watch all of them just yet, the whole series yet, because I've read the books and I kind of know. So I'm waiting for me to forget the books, and then I'm gonna go back and watch the whole series.
I enjoy it for Henry Cavill. As a whole, it's okay.
Yeah.
But because you know Henry Cavill as Geralt is going to just fucking slay shit in that show.
I think it's not a better like actor. Like that's one of those cases where like that's the perfect casting.
And here's the beauty of it is that he knows all of the story arcs. Like he's played the games, he's read the comics, like, and that's what makes him like the perfect. I mean, Superman, Geralt. Like I hope this trend continues with him, where he's involved in all of these kind of, to put a label on it, nerdier things, I guess. Right. But he knows it all, so it's like. I was listening to an interview with him and Graham Norton, and he was like, oh, so you're on the set of Witcher and you guys are going through. We heard a little rumor that you would kind of like at certain points in production be like, hey, we should talk about this part of the story arc. and the people would be like flipping through the fucking comics and shit and be like, oh yeah, that's great. You know, we should go that route and things like that. And he would correct some part because, you know, like every studio wants to take cinematic liberties and make it a little bit different in some way, shape or form. And he would kind of be like, actually, no, that's not what happened. And I'm like, all right, Henry, shut the fuck up for 5 minutes. OK, we're trying to shoot a TV series here, please.
Back to your comment, isn't it crazy how the stuff seen 10, 20 years ago, or probably 20 years ago now, 20, 30 years, that was seen as more nerdy is now actually pop culture now? Right?
Yeah, like, you guys, I got bullied for this shit. No,
now you got bullied. Bullied.
Okay. Did you get bullied?
No, I didn't have a beard back then, so it didn't shine through as much. I hate so much.
All right. My last factoid. For Klaus. This was in development for nearly 10 years before it was actually released. It was originally picked up by another studio. They ended up dropping it. Netflix waited. And then like 3 years ago, Netflix picked up the rights. The movie was produced and it came out last year? 2 years ago?
I think it was two, maybe even three.
So this thing was just sitting there in production, already done, and Netflix was like, all right, hey, this is ours. Hey, no skin off our backs, pal. All we got to do is put the thing on our fucking platform.
Yeah, it becomes a hit.
Yeah. How much you want for it? By the way, 30 million people watched this in the first month that it came out. So, and on a Netflix, on a platform like Netflix, now we're not talking box office where old boy is fucking thriving right now. We'll get into that in here in a minute. But I don't know. Kudos to them.
How does Netflix stay in business?
They keep jacking up their fucking prices. I mean, you got to think of it this way. Like, all right, everybody's paying what? $12 a month, maybe? It's even more than that.
But I mean, there's a finite like set of money that you can make off that. Unless, I mean, are there ads on Netflix? I haven't seen many ads on Netflix at all.
Well, it depends because, I mean, you look at Red Notice. We talked about this. Old boy's got his fucking gin in there. Old boy's got his tequila in there. Now they're not explicitly labeled.
Right.
But it is very clear. I'll tell you what, I've never had gin in my life. And I saw that scene and I was like, well, I got a hankering for some gin, man. I don't know what it is. Give me some Ryan Reynolds gin. How is
Netflix able to pay for these, like, the star power that's in some of their movies? And it's,
well, here's the thing. You got to think is it's like, I don't know how much they're funding these movies. Red Notice was a $7 production, which is The Rock's studio.
Oh, right? So you think they're just partnering with other studios and that's how, that's interesting.
I think so. I think it's like, it's one of these things where it's like, all right, you can pay X amount of dollars for this to be in theaters everywhere, or you could pay a little bit less just to be on Netflix, which is a very popular platform.
More people are going to watch it there.
Exactly. I mean, look at what HBO is doing. By the way, new Matrix. It's on the list of things to watch. The wife and I are planning to binge all the Matrix movies.
That's what
one through four. One through four.
Is it on HBO?
It's on HBO. The right newest now? One is on it. Yes, it is.
Hey, girl.
Started to watch it at Pop Steel's, shut it off, and I was like, I really need to know what happened. Seems like a very, very similar rehashing like of the old story.
Yeah.
Interested to see where it goes. Trash. Okay. We're getting reports that it may or may not be trash. I'm going to watch it anyways because
he's also
thank you. That's exactly. Yeah. Which, by the way, they took a absolute slobber knocker by the fucking Chiefs the other day. Did they not? Let's move on and not talk about that.
What we got next?
Let's get into. I got a couple other ones. Let's skip to Die Hard. I kind of teased Die Hard. We'll talk about it. 2007, Bruce Willis donated John McClane's undershirt to the Smithsonian Museum. What is a museum anymore? Does it fucking mean anything?
Just a collection.
To be a museum. Yeah. In 2007, he did this. Okay. So let's see. Bruce Willis was born. This movie came out, what, 90s, 80s, 90s, sometime? 2007. Yeah, this thing has spent some time. Okay, this thing is ancient. Let's go ahead and put it in a fucking museum. Okay, let's put it behind glass. Let's pay a lot of money as curators to keep this here for whatever fucking reason. Actually, donated it. Didn't cost him anything. 88. Thank you, Perry. Of course you would know. You're about 40 years old then, weren't you? Ha!
Got him.
Hey, you didn't deserve that. You've been on my side this entire time. Perry, I apologize. You know, that was totally unjust of me. I should not have done that to you.
You're like, oh, you had one fan gone.
Yeah. All of a sudden, our viewership is to zero. Yeah. You can blame it all on me. Okay, let's get to the next factoid here. I want to try to get to our Spider-Man review. We've got about 10 minutes or so left in our show.
We gonna need all of them.
Ironically, Bruce Willis sneered at for being an all-American hero by the head German terrorist, by John McClane being sneered at by is actually more German than most of the villains. Alan Rickman was English and Alexander Gudinov was Russian. Bruce Willis was born on March 19th, 1955 in West Germany to an American father and a German mother.
You know, kind of appreciate Bruce Willis movies. You know, I don't know anything about that movie, so I can't like, oh, wow, cool. You can appreciate Bruce Willis. I'd put him up there with that, who's the guy that looks, I get confused with Gerard Butler. That's it. And put him in the same category. You know, that action, like the same role, like, all right, cool.
You do have to appreciate it. And you're just like, all right, the accent's kind of cool. It's a little different. And then, well, Gerard Butler in particular, obviously not Bruce Willis. So maybe he did, like, it doesn't say when he moved to the States. So maybe he was in Germany for a while. Totally changes my view on Bruce Willis, knowing that he's German American, though.
Does it?
No, it does. No, it doesn't. No, I don't shit.
I've done. Yeah. And to back what I said earlier, I think Bruce Willis has like a wider range than Gerard Butler does, but I see them as very similar.
Oh yeah, he's got like the whole nine yards with Matthew Perry, which is Chandler from Friends. You gotta watch that still. Give that a try. What else? He's in Unbreakable, which is a great movie. He's got superpowers. He's basically kind of invincible.
He's in one of the he's in the Fast and Furious quite a bit, isn't he?
Expendables. He's in the Expendables a couple different times. You're thinking of Vin Diesel, obviously.
No. In Fast and the Furious, what's his name? Because he plays the Rock's, like, the bad guy in the Fast and Furious, right? Yeah.
Bad guy in Expendables.
Now, who's the bald guy in Fast and the Furious then?
The Rock.
It's not him. It was Hobbs and Shaw.
No, it's the chick in Hobbs and Shaw, isn't it?
We're both lost. I don't know. I am horrible with actors, so I'm. There's a bald guy that's probably not Bruce Willis. Nope, that's not it. I'm talking about the guy with whatever. Next, Spider-Man. Loved it.
I got one more.
Him and Bruce Willis look the same. They're the same bald guy.
Jason Statham. Okay, yeah. But big age difference, I'm pretty sure. One, two, one knows martial arts, and the other one, I don't think, knows martial arts.
Both bald.
All right, next. Okay. my last diehard factoid before we get into Spider-Man review. When John McClane runs through glass shards in his bare feet, after Hans has his men shoot out the glass portions of the computer room, Bruce Willis is wearing special rubber shoes designed to look like his own bare feet. One can see this if looking closely at his feet appear quite unnaturally large in some of the crucial barefoot scenes.
Get the fuck out of here, IMDb, please.
Just step on it. You know what? No, I'm good. I'm just going to walk over this glass.
Why can't they just put fake glass like they do with all the other shit?
Yeah, like make it rubber instead. You know what I mean? Maybe the tech wasn't good back then in the 20s or whenever this movie was made.
In the 20s? Perry was 4 when this movie was made back in the 20s. I did it again. He didn't deserve it twice.
We love him so much.
let's talk about Spider-Man. Was that not one of? People are revering it as one of the best. I would say it's up there. I would certainly say it's up there. I don't think it's better than Endgame, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I mean, how can you beat Endgame?
Honestly? No, I don't. I think people discredit Endgame a lot. I think they were finding issues with Endgame that weren't there.
However. Fantastic. We talked about this. There were a few gimmicky things that were all right, come on, really? But overall, really, really good.
And
sorry,
Lord Perry Davis.
Yeah.
Our deepest apologies.
Apologies, Lord Perry Davis. Yes. That's what makes us idiots on a mic, man. Imbeciles of the highest order, if you will, which if you go to our Bonfire store, you can find those shirts. Imbeciles of the highest order. Not wearing any of our gear today. Don't look at my shirt.
No.
What are you wearing? Hey, you got that hoodie with Joey B's face on it? That was pretty neat.
Oh, no, don't worry. Once we win the Super Bowl and Joey B's smoking a cigar in Cincinnati, I'm going to go ahead and grab me one of them hoodies, too.
By the way, I've talked about it. I haven't showed it. She needs a little humidity. I think something's up.
Nice box.
Oh, this whole thing? It's a humidor.
Oh,
thank you. What you know about that? Yes, it's living on the floor right now because I got too much stuff, as you can see back there on my dresser. But it's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
Old day in hell, my friend. All right. But there is a lot of nostalgia in it. I mean, we know that Doc Ock is back. You guys have seen the trailers.
Right.
We know that Lizard's back. We know that Sandman's back. The whole explanation is why they're back. One of the gimmicky things for me personally.
You feel like, I think I'm trying to tread lightly with certain
things. I know.
But you feel almost as if Doctor Strange is there to move the plot forward in some aspects. But I believe this is 100% a Spider-Man film. Like 100%. I think it's up there with Homecoming for me as the best. And I thought about it. The nitpicks I have with it after thinking about it are because I think my expectations of certain things and how they do things was higher than what it should have been. So it's phenomenal. Like, go watch it. You're going to love it. You're going to come out of it thinking, wow, Tom Holland's my favorite Spider-Man. Like, that's, I don't even think it's a debate at this point.
Did you watch any of the other ones leading up to it? Like, there was so much speculation. I did,
but I haven't seen it in such a long time.
There was so much speculation around it. It was like, is Tobey Maguire in this movie? Is Andrew Garfield in this movie? I was like, well, I need to go. I have to go back and see, like, I need for myself to just be like, oh, please, please, for the love of God, be in this movie. And I went back and I watched the old ones. And it's so tough because it's like, I mean, you have to give Tom Holland a lot of credit. One, because he does his own stunts. Like, you go back and you look at some of the stunts that were done, like, in the old Spider-Man movies, and you're like, fuck, this is not... Technology was not caught up with movies back then.
Oh,
like, what
no.
they wanted to do and what they did were two totally different things, and you're just like, oh, Jesus Christ.
If you watch, too, because I've been following a lot of Tom Holland and that Zendaya, like, on Instagram and stuff like that, like...
Oh, you like that they're a couple now? Are you one of those people? Oh, you're like, oh,
yeah. I think it's awesome. And if you look at their interactions and stuff, though, like she was, they were at some award thing or whatever, and like she almost had a nip slip. Tom Holland like jumps in front of her to prevent the cameras from like. You're like, you know what? that's cool. Like, it's, you can just appreciate
that's
their
chemistry. Hashtag and everything. That's my Spider-Man.
Yeah. And like, his people are freaking Spidey out.
Senses.
People are freaking out because he liked a post about how short people have more sex than tall people. And it's like, all right, Tom Holland, I see you out there getting the old web shooter working overtime.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to appreciate it. I think there is like a certain level of, okay, this is interesting. When there is kind of a love interest between actors and actresses, like, I reference this a lot. You never watched Friends. However, they had the whole run of Friends, okay? Just last year, they had the Friends reunion where they brought everybody back. And it was just conversation. It wasn't like an episode. It was like there was clips of the old episodes. And then it was like them just sitting on a couch, on the couch.
Which they're doing that Harry Potter now or something like that.
So. Yeah, I did see that, which I don't know what platform that's supposed to be on. I'm interested. I want to watch that one too. Oh, it'll also be HBO.
Yep.
I'll probably watch it.
Yeah, me too. But go on, continue.
And so it's...
Train God lost.
Damn it. You made me laugh. God damn it. Where was I going?
I think that type of stuff's like awesome. Like the chemistry between... Because especially because like when you look at shows, like it's awesome to see Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis together now. And when you go back and watch that 70s show, you're like... That, how awesome is that? You know what I mean?
There was my train of thought. So, Ross and Rachel, they have this chemistry throughout the entire show, which is David Schwimmer and Jennifer Aniston. Well, come to find out, seasons 1 and 2, they actually did as actor and actress. Yep, there it is. Mama Steele was saving me. They actually did have chemistry, like the two off screen. Had a lot of chemistry, but they were like, all right, what happens if this fails? It seems like this show is going to go on a run. Do we really want to ruin that? And sure enough, they never acted on it. And you get this chemistry built throughout the entirety of this season, of this franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, holy shit, like you really have to step back and go, oh, okay, this thing is, it's incredible. And now knowing that, you're like, you see it. Like you go back and you watch the first Tom Holland Spider-Man, which is when they were like, no, we're not dating, right, blah, blah, blah.
Where she was really standoffish and it was just like, eh.
Yeah. Yep. And it's like they've almost developed their relationship on and off screen.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta appreciate that, you know.
When do you think it's an appropriate time to give spoiler reviews? There's a lot in this movie that I want to talk about, but I can't. I'm not gonna ruin it.
Listen, Papa Steel, I get off at 4:30 tomorrow. We'll go catch a later movie. We'll both see it. I probably can't do that. I gotta take care of my sick wife. That is one of my duties as a husband.
Is that I don't know. I mean she's,
I'll have to look at the contract again.
Leave her some food.
She's not a cat, man. Jesus Christ. Yeah. After Papa Steel sees it. And guess what? That's gonna be months from now. So keep that on your fucking calendar, because no, listen. We do our homework for the show, okay? We do our little trivia factoids. I find articles on the internet for us to talk about. We're leaving Papa Steel with some homework. Watch the fucking movie. And once you're done with the movie,
I then get it. If it takes you 6 months to watch it, because it's taken me that long to watch Daredevil. So take your time.
No, Daredevil came out in 2015, you asshole. It's taken you 6 years, almost seven. We're going on Saturday. Here we go. Next episode, we will be talking about, with spoilers, Spider-Man No Way Home. Okay? Yes. So for all of you who are waiting in anticipation, and I don't know what the generic timeline, what the arbitrary timeline that people put on the internet
people
is.
People already have spoilers out like 4 days after it came out. They're like, hey, I'll give you Friday to go see it. When they saw it on Thursday, I'll give you Friday and Saturday to go see it. We're spoiling this shit on Sunday.
Yeah. And it's like, hey, by the way, no movie theater is going to have tickets because they're all sold out, because it's a great fucking movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And you're like, what? Yeah. Great movie. Pop Steel, if you haven't seen it, great movie. We're going to wrap it up there for today.
I just, before this, there's one scene in the movie. I'm not going to talk about it. You just look over at me and go, you son of a bitch, I told you. I hate you and everything you're about. So I'm going to leave it at that. And I will talk about that on the next review. But other than that,
it's one of those things where I was like, hey, maybe look into it and you'll know.
We can't say anything, any names or anything, because it'll ruin things. But
hey, if you don't know, now you know. We're going to wrap it up there for today. Thank you, everybody who listened and chimed in. Perry, apologies to you, sir, Lord Perry Davis. P-Dog, I take that back. I'm not gonna call you P-Dog, because it sounds like you're a dog of peas, man. My dog pees too, actually.
Dog pees a lot. He ain't got no more left, he just pees.
he's always got a reserve, man. There's always an extra tank.
Oh, excited.
It's like one of those, if those wacky inflatable arm flailing men had water coming out of them, that's what it would be like. That's exactly what it would be like. Who's this? Is this Luna?
Lulu.
We're going to wrap it up there for today. Once again, thank you everybody who listened, chimed in. Stay tuned for next week, where you will get two idiots take. Idiots on a mic, on microphones.
Idiote in Spanish.
I don't think that's correct.
I don't think that's right either.
on a mic. Next week, after Papa Steel has seen it, and we're going to have a fucking day. We're going to have articles too. We're going to have articles too.
Yeah, it'll probably be mostly Spider-Man. Don't expect
to see it. Right? I know, yeah. We'll have, I'll send Rod 10. He'll look at zero of them. We'll cover maybe one of them. Oh, beer is done, by the way. Oh. For those two winners, we get to decide. I still have the list. I actually have to close that. I don't know if more people have donated. I have to go look.
I thought we were just keeping this between us and we were choosing each other. I don't know, but...
You did donate, so technically you are on the list of people who...
We donated our time, so I mean, that counts.
We will be deciding that winner. We'll announce that next week as well. And then we will get that fresh... And by the way, kudos and compliments to Papa Steel for suggesting that donation. That was all his idea. We didn't approach him. He said, hey, by the way, let us know. I'm brewing 12 beers. You get 2 6-packs. You decide who they're going to go out to. I have to send him labels and stuff too, so we can get cut. You're going to get your own fucking 6-pack carrier. Idiots on a mic on it. You're going to get a label. Well, I don't know if we agreed on that. We'll talk about that. you'll get labels on the beer bottles. Idiots on a mic on them. So be on the lookout for that next week, not tomorrow, when we announce those winners. And as always, my good friends, I had a slew. I didn't drink all of any of these, but I did have a couple different things.
Here we took it easy on this here.
Yeah, smart. Yeah, he said, it's so strong. Cheers, everybody.
Cheers, friends.